Okay, so to continue, we were just telling the story then of Isser and his 12,000 zuz, and of Mori Barochel and Rava saying, Rava going through all the possibilities, how would Ramori be able to acquire those? There doesn't seem to be any way, therefore, on the face of it, Rava seems to be saying that he should be able to keep it. Now, how could such a thing be? If Isser wanted to go to Mori, then how is Rava going to do any differently? So there are some of the Rishonim, for example, Rabbeinu Yohanan, I think also the Meiri, says that it's not that Rava wanted to keep it for himself. He wanted to have the schus of being able to give it to Mori as a matter of tzedakah rather than just returning a pikadon. He wanted to have that mitzvah. He wanted to have that schus. And if you find some way to give it as a matana, basically, where then he can have the schus of that he's giving it a tzedakah, kind of, to a talmid chacham, rather than just he has to return it because he has to return it. So according to that, he never meant to keep it for himself. He just wanted to have a different reason for giving it. However, Tosfos understands it not that way, because Tosfos asks, a couple of the Tosfos over here on our Omud ask the question, how is Rava planning to keep it for himself? What about, so Tosfos discusses, and there's actually a mission at the end of Masechta, there's a mission at the end of Masechta, Shviyat, which we learned about it in Kedushin, that says that if you borrowed money from a guy and later on his children were misgayer, then you shouldn't return it to his children. And if you do Ein Ruach HaChamim Neichayimenu, and over here it's even more so because Isser didn't even lend him the money, you could at least stay there, the guy did him a favor, he wasn't even a favor because Isser, to begin with, gave it to him as a pikadon. One second. And then Tosfos goes on to ask the question, what about Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes? And Tosfos talks about the various details, when we say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes and when not. You can see, by the way, how long Tosfos goes in discussing this Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes. Look at the Tosfos over here at the end of the Omud, Dekom Magmari. You have like 12 lines of it over here on our Omud. But then you have most of the next Omud. And Tosfos is going through all the ins and outs, when we say and when we don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes. Anyway, so how is such a thing possible that Rava is trying to keep it for himself? So
what does he conclude, by the way?
Tosfos says, among other things, first of all, it depends, did he actually say to give it to him? Over here, Isser never said explicitly, give the money to Ramari. The implication was that he deposited it by Rava and he expected to eventually go to Ramari. If he had said so, of all the various possibilities that Rava was talking about, how could Ramari be koine, he never mentioned that Isser said anything about it one way or the other.
If he had said,
then you could argue Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes. Although even that, actually, you have the poskim argue about the question in a case like this, where we're saying that you have a goyish father and a Jewish son, where again, they're not considered related halacha, do we say, even in a case like that, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaNes, where we all... Isser is now a yid, but he was a goy. But he was. I don't mean a goy now. I mean he was a goy at the time of the conception. That's what I mean. And therefore, they're not considered related. But you still have the argument that in a case like that, you don't
need a relationship for matana.
But that's what we said before. We said that specifically in this. We just said before one of Rava's points was that only where Yerusha is possible is matana possible. Again, we have the different understandings of what that means. Does it mean Davke in a father-son case like this? Because then effectively you would be overriding the fact that they're not considered related and you would be acting as if they are because the Matana stands in place of the Yerusha. Or is it a more general thing like Tosfos talks about, the fact that Isser the Ger doesn't have anybody who's capable of yashining him, therefore he's not capable of doing a Matana, or the other way around, maybe that Ramari is not, right now doesn't have anybody who he could yashin from, therefore he's not capable of receiving such a matana. You have all these various possibilities.
So wait, one second. You say when there's no Yerusha, there's no matana, basically.
That's what the Gemara is saying. Under what conditions that applies, you have all the Rishonim talking about.
If I want to give you a matana, although we're not related, I can give you a
matana. I just said that before, literally right before Meirut, we were talking about that. There's no question, of course you can. But maybe either according to the Rambam, in a case like this, where it's father and son, where ostensibly they're father and son, but halacha they're not, maybe is different. Or maybe specifically when we're talking about a ger giving a matana, or maybe we're talking about specifically a ger who doesn't have children or a wife of his own receiving a matana. Or maybe also there's another point that some of the Rishonim bring up, which is if you were to allow it in a case like this, people would mistakenly think that Rav Mori is actually Isser's halachic son. You would be causing people to make that mistake, which would make them misunderstand the halach. So maybe that's a disservice, whatever it is. Anyway, so you have a so okay. So there is the Now, okay, well, you know what? Let's finish up the story, and then we'll talk about what was Rava doing for you. Okay. So we're holding five lines from the bottom of Kufnem Tesemud Aleph. So we said, so again, Rava went through all these various possibilities, how on the face of it, if there can be machna this to the Mari, but none of them works for one reason or another. Okay, Maske Florida of Ikka Breder of Ami. So Ikka Breder of Ami asks Rava, what's the problem? Am I the loyde Isser Geholin Zuzidir of Mari? Let Isser make a Hadar, that's why we're bringing this in, because we have the question, if a Shtimara is loyde, does that work? Is that we asked just before the story, if a Shivra says that these money belong to Pliny, even though we didn't have any reason to think that these Nechafim actually belong to Pliny, does that work? According to the Rashbam, the question is, does it work, or do we maybe say that he's doing it in order that people don't think that his sons are rich? According to Tosfos, according to the various approaches in Tosfos, the question is, if Isser were to recover, is he able to get it back? Is it considered a matna shimra in that sense? Do we say that he's able to be matna the pikadon to somebody else without maimon shloshon? Anyway, so that's why we're bringing this in over here, because we want to be able to prove from the story that the haidah of a shimra works or doesn't work. So the loydi iser deholin zuzidarmanin jeremori nidu. Why doesn't iser be moide? Why doesn't he make a declaration that this money which you thought belongs to me actually belongs to the mori? The likminu ba'idisa, and then Ramari will be able to be kind of them through that hoda. And as a matter of fact, adahachi nafak udisimi be iser. As they were talking about this, sure enough, there was a coil came out that in people started talking about. Hey, there is a way for him to do it accurately. He has to be moide. So somebody went to Isser and told him that somebody told him this is what you should do. Be moide that it belongs to Ramari, and then Ramari will be able to get it. That's the point. He said that that's the answer to our question. So the Haidah of a Shchimra works. We do consider it to be a valid Haidah. We do consider that now that money actually does belong to that third party. We don't say it's Shalei Lasbias Banav. We don't say that we don't say that it's a Matnas Shchimra. We consider it like a Matnas Bari.
Who dies, not a
matana. But it's the equivalent of a matana, because up until now, the result was the same, because we had, a haidah is he's voluntarily saying this money belongs to Pliny, when we had no reason beforehand to think that it belongs to Pliny. That's the equivalent of a matana in that sense.
So that's it.
Yeah. Okay, so Nafak Odisimi Be Isser, so sure enough, a haidah came out from Isser's household, meaning people went to Isser, told him this is what you should do, be moida it belongs to the Mari, and he did that, and now that's it, the money belongs to the Mari. Ikfad Rava, so Rava minded that. Rava was upset about that. Omar, he said, look at this. Kamagmari Tainasala Inshi, people are teaching other people Tainas that they can use, Umaksidili, and they're causing me a loss. So now we get to the question. So what is Rava thinking? Was he actually, again, according to Rabbeinu Yohanan and the Meiri, what it is he's not literally saying I would have had a loss, he said, of money. He's saying I have a loss of a mitzvah. I would have had the mitzvah to give it to him as voluntarily, and like this, I lose it. But on the surface, he's saying I actually lost the money. So the Chazanish writes about it in one of his svarim. He says the vote is, we find in various places in Shas that Rava was a Gabbai Tzedakah. Apparently, he felt the money should have been able to be used for that. Like, this is going to the Mari, very nice. The Mari is a Talmud Chacham, there's no question some of it is going to go to Tzedakah. But if Rava had been able to hold on to it, maybe he could have given all of it to Tzedakah, or at least the major part of it. So therefore, he's objecting to that, that it ended up by the Mari.
But he says,
Mastidi Lee, because they caused me. No, but he means my losses, and I could have given it to Tzedakah, as I could have been the Gabbai Tzedakah and given it out to Tzedakah. a couple of other interesting things on this, actually. I saw, and one of the things that I was using for preparing, a sefer called Yosef Das, mentions an interesting story involving the Meir Mazuz. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a famous Sardi Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Israel.
He's here
now. Is he? Oh, that's true. I saw, yeah. That's true. I forgot about that. Okay, so here's a story involving him. Some 30-odd years ago, he was laid up in the hospital. One time, he was discussing with his Haverim or his Talmidim or whatever this story in the Gemara. So he argued that he argued maybe what it is. It's not that Rava wants to keep the money for himself. Rava just wants his Talmidim to exercise their brain. Is there taka any valid way of the halacha that Rav Mari is going to be able to get this money? Eventually, what happens is somebody does come up with a way. Rav Ikabred Rav Ami comes up with a way. Yeah. Udisa, that he's moide. So then, when Rava, at the end, when Rava Ikpar, it's not that he was really upset about it. It was like a mock upset.
he says, that the, like, look at this, you found the one answer that was hiding out. And then so Mazuz goes on to tell the story that night he saw Rava, and that Rava came to him in a dream and thanked him for that and gave him Birkas Koyanim, because according to Tosfos discusses in some places that Rava may have been a Koyan.
Yeah.
And after that, he started recovering. I saw this in the Sefer Yosef Das.
He's going to
hate. He's masking. Yeah. Okay. So and then he finally started recovering from his broken leg or whatever it is that he was laid up for. Yeah. Tell you another interesting thing I saw about this also in the same source in the Yosef Das. Rav Yochanan Wasserman one time wondered about this. We said that the Rashbam makes a point of saying all these things that Rava said are in fact valid halakha. This that are, for example, that only when Yerusha is possible, with Matana possible, Rava is saying it in this connection. But the fact is, those are valid halakhas. It is that is takad halakha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. What the exact meaning of it is, you have the different opinions of the Rishonim, but you have the basic halakha is a halakha. The concept that with Maimed Shloshtan he's not obligated to go, that's also halakha. Etc. So the Bachanan Wasserman asked the question, don't we know, the Gemara mentions in other places, that if a Talmid Chacham only says a halacha at the time when it's actually negated to him, you can't accept it as halacha, because first, he may be a robber, but still, a robber is a...
We saw that halacha is really halacha.
No, but that's something else. What we're saying is a Gemara in Kedushin that says that if a Talmid Chacham, at the time of a Maisa, when something turns out to be Negea, and he says you should know the halacha is such and such, where we didn't know that halacha beforehand, we can't necessarily accept it, because he's first a human being, he first has a little bit of, he's trying to do Torah Samus, but he first has a little pnia, he first may have a little bit of self-interest involved over here, and you can't necessarily accept it. How are we able to accept these as halachas? Until the Imre Emes, the Gerer Rebbe of that time, came and told him the answer like this.
Here it's a lot, by the way.
This is Rebbe Yochanan Wasserman.
His question.
The Gerer Rebbe gave the answer as follows. He says like this. Rava himself, you find Taka in various places in Shas, that he says, that after he tells, we had it earlier in Amasekta, in fact, after he said halacha tez tamidim, he turns around later and he says, actually, dvorim shamar tolachem toz to biyadi. This that I told you is actually a mistake. Now, therefore, over here, in the end, all of these tainas of Rava's in the end didn't work out, right? Because he ended up losing the 12,000 gulzim on the basis of Vahidah. If these were not really true halachas, then afterwards he would have said so. He would have said, you know what, actually, I said these halachas at the time, but dvarim shamarti toh sein biyadi, and those are taka not the halachas. The fact that he didn't demonstrates they are taka true halachas. And had it not been for the matter of the Udissa, had nobody gone and told Isser about the Udissa, yes, Taka would have been able to keep the money. Mm-hmm. One more thing I'll tell you, and then we'll continue with the Gemara itself. One more thing to explain what Rava is doing over here is that somebody, they say that Maskil once asked the Chofetz Chaim this question, how are you talking? You see from this Gemara on the face of it, Rava Chas V'Shalom seems to be greedy. He wants to keep this money for himself. Chofetz Chaim told him, let me tell you a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells over there that one time some animals were stolen from Rava's house, the Machteres, the guy had tunneled into his house or whatever, and later on the guy did Shuvah and wanted to return it, and Rava refused to accept it. On the basis of a din that the Gemara says over there, that the Gemara brings from Rav, a din, which the Gemara actually says over there, that maybe the halacha is taken out like Rav in that din. Nevertheless, because Rav said it, Rava was machmir on himself and will not take them back from the ganav.
Even though
the halacha is not like Rav, nevertheless, Rava was still machmir on himself as if it was. And therefore, he didn't want these animals back. Uh-huh. So the Chofetz Chaim says to the guy, "See, Rava is the furthest thing from just wanting to take money. He didn't even want his own money back when there's any reason in halacha to not to. How much more so he's not going to take somebody else's money? You have to say the answer that he wanted it for purposes of tzedakah or whatever, or the various other answers that he wanted chinuch, or he wanted mitzvah of giving it to him himself or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Where's the halacha?
The halacha is that the halacha is that we're saying that the money would not have had to be given back to Rav Mari except for the fact of Odisha. Alright, let's go to Amid Beis.
What did you say about Udisa?
If he was Moida. If the Shchidmarav was Moida, that the money belongs to the Zaragat. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had told us that Shir Kalka Kolshu Matnota Kayemis. We said in the Mishnah that when the Shchidmarav gives away his Nechotim, if he left over any Kalka that he kept for himself, then we said his Matana is irrevocable even if he recovers.
Why would he have kept something for himself except for the fact that he expected to recover? Therefore, you can't say that there's that original umdana, that there's that original understanding that he only did it because he's about to die. Okay, so the question is, v'kama kolshu? How much is considered kolshu for this purpose? Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, karka kadei panasase. So if Yehuda says in the name of Rav, it means if there's enough karka for him to be able to live. Kolshu meaning a certain amount. Kolshu doesn't necessarily, as we will see in the Gemara, the word kolshu doesn't necessarily mean a tiny bit. It just means it means enough for him to have parnasa. So there's a discussion among Rishonim, how much would that have to be? Would it have to be parnasa for the whole for his whole remaining life expectancy, or maybe just for a year? Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba says it doesn't even have to be a karka. It can be he left over metaltlin as long as there's enough for his parnasa. Look how accurate these teachings of the elders of these chachamim are, that they said that the word kol shehu means actually kedei panasasa. You can actually see it from the wording of the Mishnah. Karka time, or from the logic behind it. Karka time am I? What would be the reason why, if he kept himself a certain amount of karka, you would say that the rest of the matana is irrevocable? That the matana outside of that karka is irrevocable. Deikoi, because if he recovers, samech alei, he expects to be samech on that for his living, for his panosa. Well, then So the same way metalpolin, by the same logic, he can expect to rely on that. So therefore, in other words, not necessarily even are they disagreeing when Rabbi Huda says Kauka and Rabbi Yumi Ba'aba says Metalflin, the main point is they both understood Kol Shehu to be Kedei Panasasa. You can see that it's a very accurate statement. They obviously knew what they were talking about. However, Maskif for Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef asks on that, or my Kavanasa, who says it's so accurate?
They agreed on that.
Who says that this idea that Kol Shehu really means Kedei Panasasa? Manda Omer Metalflin. First of all, you have to ask, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba, who says Metalflin, it still contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Kauka Tanan. Manda Omer Kedei Panasasa Kol Shehu Tanan. What are you praising this that they're saying, that they must know what they're talking about, when they're clearly contradicting what the Mishnah says in one way or in two ways? So Omele Abaya answers to Rabbi Yosef. So you're telling me every time a Mishnah or a Braisa uses the word karka, it means davka karka. It can't possibly be metalflin. But we have a Mishnah in Peah. We learned this back in Gittin as well. If somebody wrote a document that he's giving all of nechosim to his eved, yotzav ben chorin, then the eved goes free because the eved is part of the nechosim. So it means he was makna the eved to himself. However, sheer kalka. No, he didn't. He wrote out that he was giving all the chosim to Yitzchak.
Oh, yeah.
Sheer kalka kol shehu. However, if he left over any amount of kalka, if he said, I'm giving you all the chosim except for any amount of kalka, lo yotze ben chorin, then the guy does not go ben chorin, he does not go free. The Rashbam says the reason is because an eved is compared to kalka. So if he says kalka kol shehu, he may well mean the eved himself. Tosfos gives a different. Tosfos gives a different explanation, which is given that you have one shtar over here that says he's giving the nechosim, and by implication he's free in the eved. You can't split it. You can't say that only one of those things holds true and not the other. If you're saying that there's a shiur, that there's something left, that he didn't give away all his nechosim because he kept himself some karka, it means he also didn't give away the whole eved. You're keeping some of the eved for himself. In that case, the eved doesn't go free. Anyway, Reb Shimon, la'olam hu ben chorin. Reb Shimon says that no, the eved will always be ben chorin, even though he left over some karka. Because fine, he left over karka, he didn't leave over an eved. Ad sheyomer, unless he explicitly says kol nechosai nesunim l'ploini avi, I'm giving all my nechosim to ploini my eved. Chutz me'echan me'ribe shvehen, except for 1/10,000 of them, and 1/10,000 can mean the eved. Now, the eved might be worth more than 1/10,000. But he might mean like in a derogatory sense. In other words, like he might mean like I consider you worth only 1/10,000 of the nechassim. Or if I can't, the Rashbam says derech covered cost of la'abdikach. He may have written it as an expression of covered, like you're worth a significant chunk, whatever. Only then do we say the eved is not koneh himself. Now, so far we're talking about karka. However, here is the point that Abaye is bringing up. The Amr of Dimi by Yosef, Amr of Elazar. However, the Dimi by Yosef says in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Also, Metaltalin, Shir Eitzel Eved. The Chachamim, even though we said Kauka, it doesn't necessarily have to be Kauka. And if the Adarin left over some Metaltalin that he didn't give to the Eved, that also is true. The Metaltalin are also considered Shir. They're considered a leftover relative to an Eved. Because like you just said, an Eved is not fully like Kauka. In a certain sense, he's like Metaltalin as well. So therefore, you can also say that when he says, I'm keeping some of the Metaltalin, he means to keep the Eved, and therefore the Eved doesn't go. And by the way, if the Eved doesn't go free, he doesn't get in any of the Mechasim either, because Mashakana Eved Kana Rabba. So only if the Eved goes free does he actually get the Nechasim. In the cases where he doesn't go free, where he left over Kauka, or what Rabdimi is saying over here, if he left over Metaltalin, the Eved's not free and the Nechasim don't belong to him. Anyway, the Loy also Metaltalin Shir Eitz Oksuba. However, when it comes to Oksuba, there we say that Metaltalin are not considered a Shir. Namely, we talked about in the previous parak, if a person gives away his Nechasim to his children while he's alive, and he also gave his wife a certain amount of Kauka, then we said she forfeited Uksuba because she was willing be willing to merchel Uksuba, but only if it was Kauka, not if it was Metaltalin. We talked over there, after the Takanas HaGa'onim, is it after the Takanas HaGa'onim that you can collect from the Metaltalin as well? Is it different? But in the times of the Gemara, at least, there was that distinction. So therefore, the point is, we see that even though the Mishnah in Peah there uses the word Shi of Kauka culture, it applies to Metaltalin as well. So then, in that case, no, never mind Uksuba, we're talking about Eved. But if you said, I'm keeping some of the Kauka, and the same way if you said you're keeping some of the Metaltalin. So why should you, Rabbi Yosef, assume that just because the Mishnah used the word Shir Kauka Kol Shehu, that it should be a problem for Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, who said Metaltalin instead? The answer is, Rabbi Yosef would answer, Hosam Bedinhu Deloylisni Kauka. The truth is, in that case, in the Masechta Peah, it shouldn't have even had to say the word Kauka at all. But because the beginning of that Mishnah started by saying that Rabbi Akiva says certain dinim that apply to any amount of karka, that it's chayev and peya and in bikurim, the licht of alayim prusbul, you can use any small amount of karka as a basis for writing a prusbul, the lichness imam nechasim shein lai machrayis, the kesef b'shav v'chazaka, and that you can use it for kinyan agav, which we just talked about before, to be koinim etalpul and agav karka. So therefore, since in those things apply only to Kauka, those do not apply to Metaltalin. Therefore, Mishamachi Katani Kauka. So therefore it mentions Kauka. So therefore, you could answer that in that case, that's a specific case where Kauka doesn't mean only Kauka, it can be Metaltalin. We're just mentioning Kauka in continuation of another Mishnah that mentioned Kauka. But over here, where it's not in continuation, Rabbi Yosef can argue the Mishnah Taka means Kauka, does not mean Metaltalin.
Kauka can mean Karka itself, or karka associated to
No, not associated with. It can mean that in the case of an Eved, we'll say, of freeing an Eved and giving him the Mechasim, whether you left over some of the Karka or whether you left over some of the Metaltalin, the Jid would be the same. Not necessarily in the case of our Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying, not necessarily, or what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, or what Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba is saying, not necessarily is that correct. On the other hand, the fact is you do have that Mishnah in Peah that says Kauka, and we understand it to mean Metaltalin as well. So you could instead say that the same is true in our Mishnah, which is what Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba is basing himself on. So that you could look at it either way, in other words.
Yeah, halacha does look at it either way.
So who is the halacha? Well, first of all, okay, so the later on, so the Gemara will continue, and that you'll deal with tomorrow when I'm not here. Not about the halacha. I'll tell you that now. But as far as the question, so we dealt with the question how Kauka can mean Metaltalin, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba. What about according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba, Kosher, who of our Mishnah, means an actual amount, Kedei Panasotik. That's the first thing the Gemara will take up that you'll learn tomorrow. You'll see. So who is the halacha like? So you have a machloikas rishonim on that. You have the Rif says, really, in a certain sense, the halacha is not like either one of them. The halacha is that you actually need it can be kauka, it can be metaltalin, fine, but it doesn't necessarily have to be kedei panasasi. As long as it's a kosher. I think that's what the Rif says. I don't remember for sure because I looked it up just before I came here and I didn't have the time to look at it in detail. But if I remember correctly, that's what the Rif says is that here I can see real quick. I'm looking in the Steinsaltz. So here, okay. So the Rif holds that. Whether it was Kauka, whether it was Metaltalin, yes, Kol Shehu means that any amount, literally any amount, doesn't have to be Kedei Parnasasi. So the halacha, in other words, he says, the halacha is like a viyomi ba'aba, that karka doesn't only mean karka, it can mean the talpilin, but the halacha is not like either one of them, that kol shehu means kidei panos asei. On the other hand, the Rosh argues with it, and says that the Rosh basically says, the halacha is like a viyomi ba'aba. It does have to be kidei panos asei, it can be karka or metalpilin.
So it's a discussion between the Rif and the Rosh.
So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber goes like the Rif. The Ramah goes like the Rosh. So who are you going to follow? In an actual case, in Beis Din, that'll depend whether you go to a Sfardi Beis Din or an Ashkenazi Beis Din.
Now, before you leave, show me your time's up that you use.